It's Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it is good to be with you on your Sunday. I tell you what, getting a little bit of rain over the weekend has been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure as we go into this next following week, it's hard to believe that in Pella, Iowa, next week is the beginning of tulip time. And it is amazing how that has come so quickly. I was up in that area, and the tulips look like they're going to be in full force and in all their beauty and splendor. So just what a great opportunity that we live to such a close community as having the tulip time experience. And also, too, we watch the farmers out there. They have been in full force out there getting their crops in the fields, and it has been amazing to see. We've had this nice stretch of weather, and obviously now we're going to get some rain here that's going to help those crops. So at the same time, we've got a lot of those farmers are out there trying to get their equipment up and down the highways. I just encourage you, give them a little bit of break. Yes, they have to travel, and sometimes it slows us down a little bit, but it is planting season, and we live in an agricultural state, and it's just good to pay attention and give those men and women out there a break as they're traveling up and down the highway. So just encourage you for that. Also, too, I want to thank you for listening to us on KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio dial this morning. It's always a pleasure to be with you on our Sunday mornings. And just a few things housekeeping-wise I just want to bring to your attention. We obviously send out Vital Ministries devotionals, go out 6 days a week, both for men and women. You can go to our website, vitalministries.org. Check it out. We just have some good things that we're sending out. Just gives you that daily inspiration. We have five writers on the men's side who write, and just some incredible things that they're speaking about. And then also to my wife, Dana, she takes care of the women's side of Vital Women. And just, she does a beautiful job of the inspiration, just giving you that extra nugget during the each day to be a word of encouragement. Also, too, we're always in the, we have to do the ask, and the ask is this, that we also appreciate your donations for us to be on the air. It does take money for this ministry to sustain. And I just hope that it's important that it's become a vital part of your life on your Sunday mornings. I know many of you might be driving down the highway today. It's the first time experience that you've ever have picked us up. We want to thank you for listening. Hope we get some good inspiration for you today. Just sit back down the highway, listen. I'm sure we'll give you a good word. My prayers from the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're on your way to church this morning. It's something that you do on your Sunday. Thank you for listening, or maybe you're simply sitting at home. Again, thank you for participating in Vital Ministries. And also, too, we would appreciate your contributions. If you can, you can send that to vitalministries.org. You can get on there. You can see where to send it. We have a post box right here in Oskaloosa, and we very much appreciate your donations. But let's move on this morning to our 2 weeks. For the next 2 weeks, after Easter, we're going to look at two men in the Bible. This Sunday, we're going to look at Thomas and his doubts. And next week, we're going to look at Peter and the reinstatement that Jesus does with him right in the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus meets these men in the midst of their darkest hours, and he cares for them. Oftentimes after Easter, we move away from the resurrection, and all too quick. There are usually great amounts of folks who attend church on Easter Sunday to only never to darken the doors again of a church until either Christmas or again at Easter again. It's sad, but it's much like what we read in the Bible. The heart of men is unchanged. And I use that as a context of both men and women. What I'm looking for to us to today, as we're going to address, we'll read about Thomas and his doubts. But what about our doubts? Your doubts. You see in Christ and in our culture today that there are less and less people who believe in Jesus and truly believe that he was in fact the Son of God, as to everyone just believing their own truth and living and trying to overcome their own doubts within themselves, not going to a place where I believe you can find those answers to the place of everyone has doubts. But this Saturday night before Easter, I did a funeral memory service for a man who I graduated in high school with, Larry Unalt. I actually graduated from him in 1979. Matter of fact, We're having our 40-year class reunion this year in Oskaloosa. Matter of fact, Janine Veenstra, she's in charge of that. If you're part of the class of 1979 in Oskaloosa, I'm sure she would very much appreciate hearing from you that you are going to attend the class reunion of 40 years. Where did the time go? Amazing. But the interesting part is that me and Larry, we've lived in Oskaloosa for the past 40 years, and not one time did our paths cross. That seems amazing to me, but time keeps marching on, doesn't it, folks? And I have another friend by the name of Scott who is very close to Larry and his family. And when they were going through the time of thinking about what they want to do for honoring in the memory of Larry, and they want to do a non-traditional time of service, observance of Larry's life. So they asked me, they said, Mike, would you consider doing that for Larry? And obviously I said yes, and I met with the family, and they shared with me that Larry had a God time, a God moment in his life where he came back into relationship with Jesus Christ this last 3 years of his life. He was, for better words of saying, he was a prodigal son that had returned home. My friend Scott shared with me before with the family and about Larry, and he shared with me that Larry actually for a period of time didn't believe in God in his life. And it was, again, he had his own beliefs, and that this man was really more of an agnostic in his thinking, that God truly did not exist, no time for Jesus. A lot of people live their lives that way, where they turn their backs. They once know Jesus, and they turn their backs, or simply they've just had a hard heart, and they no longer believe that there can be a God, so they create their own gods. And I think this is kind of what happened to my friend Larry. But he had this change of heart in his life, and he came back to Jesus, again, as I just stated, the last 3 years of his life, and they were different. I'm not sure how the family totally understood how Larry had changed in his faith, but they asked me to speak in Larry's behalf and speak on Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. When they asked me, it was a great opportunity. Now, bear in mind, this by no means was, again, your atypical obituary service. After I was there shortly with Larry and getting ready to speak with the prodigal son, and then after the teaching, or after the moment I was able to share with them, it was going to be time for a party. And to be honest, I loved every minute of the thought of being able to step in that kind of arena. People were being real and living out life the best they knew how. It reminded me of how Jesus must have been when he went to Matthew, the tax collector. They had a house party, and Jesus was invited, and Jesus went, and he met people right where they were. He wasn't too high and pious and couldn't go into those situations. But no, he enters in. He steps into those moments. And so I asked the Holy Spirit to help me to speak to these people and to their hearts. The time finally settled down. We were supposed to start at 4:30, and it got pushed back to 5 o'clock. And man, folks, I'd have to tell you, there were 75-plus people who were in attendance of that night. And I would have to say they were bringing in their favorite beverage, and again, it wasn't Pepsi-Cola or Coke. But here's what happened. During the time that I was able to speak with those people for 15 minutes, all eyes were on me. No one was talking. No one drank one drink when I spoke. It was quiet. Their eyes were fixed on what I had to say. I shared with them how Jesus was like the prodigal son dad, of always watching for his return, that he never gives up on us. He's always wooing us back to him, just like Larry, who died, where Jesus wooed him back into the life of following Christ. I spoke to their unbelief, and most I would have to say there was limited to no relationship with Jesus as I watched around the area in which we had for that moment. I shared with them that death wasn't the end, but it was truly the beginning, a life eternal. That those who would choose Jesus would be able to experience heaven, but those who would not or who didn't would be separated from him. I could tell you all the doubts, you could see the doubts in their minds of what happened and what happens when you die. So I told them that Jesus loved them, and so did his Father, because he sent his Son, and they could find their way back to God, just like Larry. I finished in 15 minutes, and I prayed with those folks, and I thanked them for allowing me to share that moment with them. Like I said, there were doubts, and so it was with the disciples. They had just lived in the horror of Jesus' crucifixion and knew that he was put to death, but he would be laid soon into a tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, and that the women had actually seen Jesus. But today we're going to look at John chapter 20, a place, in starting with verse 19, that directs us to our first point today, a place that I believe will help us in the midst of our own unbeliefs. And if you're at home today and you're writing down and you're taking notes, my first point today is this: hiding behind locked doors. And let's open up with verse 19 of John chapter 20. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he spoke. He showed them his wounds in his hands and in his side. And they were filled with joy as they saw the Lord. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says this: "If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." See, we see in our Bibles opening up, we see the disciples living in fear. Fear of the Jewish leaders. When you think about it, wouldn't you? Fear and unbelief literally go hand in hand. Could Jesus have really risen from the dead? Questions they might have asked. But their fear killed their belief. Jerusalem was a volatile stage at that point, a place of a city that chaos and things that were happening. The Romans were looking for the missing body. The Jewish leaders were also looking in the search of Jesus, of who had taken his body as well. It all pointed to the disciples. They must have taken him. No one had ever walked out of a tomb before being crucified, let alone a person who was dead. It was simply a mystery. It was like watching the Hallmark Channel, in my mind, where they go from one crime mystery to the next. Only thing there was no Monk. Have you ever watched the Hallmark Channel? You'll see Monk on that Hallmark Channel, and he's a cynical detective who is always looking for clues to solve a case. And it's funny, sometimes you should watch that, and even a spy like Monk, he couldn't solve a case, especially one like this. In John, they have Jesus walking right through locked doors. Nowhere in the Bible do you see this ever happening before. Jesus is now in his heavenly body. Not like a ghost or how Hollywood might depict it. No, Jesus is standing there in front of them, and he walks through a bolted door, and he speaks right into their fear. I love this portion of Scripture. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." See, folks, peace displaces fear every time. We serve a God of peace. He's called the Prince of Peace. And then he shows his wounds to his disciples. He says, "Here, look at my hands and see. Look at my wounds at my side and see how I was pierced. I'm Jesus, the man you've loved. I'm here in your presence. I told you that I would rise again." It says that the disciples were instantly filled with great joy. I bet you could see the tears following down their faces. Folks, men do that. It's not a sign of weakness, but it's a place of where they could be. This past week, I had an opportunity with my granddaughter, and we have this app called Marco Polo, and she poloed me, she sent a message, and in the message, it's her, and she's standing in front of my daughter's phone, and she's speaking to me, and she says, "Papa, I love you. Wish you were here." Boy, did that bring great joy into my heart. I had tears flowing down my cheeks, and my granddaughter brought me great joy. Joy was now back in the hearts of the disciples. Darkness had now been lifted. The dark night finally had joy of the morning. Then Jesus says it again, "Peace be with you." Then he tells them that my dad's, as my dad has sent me, as the Father has sent me, I am now going to send you. It's your time. What I was sent to do, men, has now been completed. No more sacrifices need to happen. I finished that work on the cross. I took on all mankind's sin and made things right. Then he breathes on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to the next point. He tells them about forgiveness. He tells them that they need to forgive. See, Jesus could have held unforgiveness toward the religious rulers. He could have held unforgiveness toward Pontius Pilate. He could have held unforgiveness toward Judas, his betrayer, or any other of the disciples who had abandoned him. But Jesus doesn't do that. He tells them to forgive. See, forgiveness in itself, folks, is altogether a different teaching and that we need to talk about sometime, but that's not our focal point today. Because what I love about the book of John is John deals with the darkness of people's hearts. He makes the vulnerability come out, and he shows us in great ways of what happens to people. Shows them their emotion, shows them, it talks about, it's actually the gospel of love, and he deals with that. And he wants people to see that Jesus was the God of love, the Messiah, the true one who was sent by the Father himself. But that brings us to our second point this morning, and point number two is doubt versus believing. But let's go on and read with John chapter 20, starting with verse 24, and this is what it says in the Bible. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. I put my fingers into them. I place my hand into the wound of his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing before them. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound of my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." See, folks, we're dealing with doubt versus believing. We now have Thomas, or doubting Thomas, back in the picture. For some reason, Thomas has been absent since Sunday night for 8 days. Matter of fact, he's just been gone. And oftentimes I ask, where do you think he went? The Bible doesn't give us much about what was happening in the life of Thomas. But I want to look at something deeper. I want us to look at what I would call the gospel according to Mike. My thoughts on possibly where Thomas might have been those last 8 days. Have you ever been so discouraged in your life that being around people, matter of fact, those that you care about most, simply doesn't cut it? Now let's look at Thomas for a minute. He had spent the last 3 years of his life following Jesus, saw the miracles, saw Jesus' friendship, not only with him, but with other people. He saw Jesus' love. He heard about the prophecies of the Messiah coming. He even heard Jesus talk about his death and his resurrection. He just couldn't bring himself to believe. See, darkness, depression, and discouragement will put you into lonely places. Oftentimes I share about family, and I'm going to share about an uncle of mine by the name of Tim who has now passed. And oftentimes when I read about Thomas, I think about my uncle. See, my uncle, he grew up in a Catholic church at a very young boy. My grandmother was faithful to the Catholic Church. And for what I knew about my uncle Tim, I would say that he had a minimal amount of belief in God. Early in his marriage, his first wife, in their marriage came great discouragement, more than my uncle could bear. During the time of this discouragement, he leaves. He leaves his family. He goes to Florida, away from them. He couldn't handle the discouragement, the dark hour. He comes back and he takes his family, his wife and his daughter, and they move back to Colorado. The only problem is that my uncle is driven towards alcoholism. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about addictions. Pick your poison after this next week. We got one more week. We're going to deal with the resurrection, and we're going to deal with addictions, the poisons that we pick. See, his medication for life was at the bottom of a beer can or bottom of a beer bottle. The only way he could handle the pain was to numb it. He and his wife's marriage was broken and they divorced. He lost contact with his only child. All three had hearts that were broken. My uncle, he stayed a Rolling Stone and lived in Alaska, got off the grid, and eventually he moved to Washington State. My uncle eventually got cancer and he passed. His family had nothing to do with him because of the choices that he had made in the midst of the darkness that he carried in his life, all because of his choices. Isolation and drinking was now how he finished the days of his life. He would at times call me from a distance and on a phone call, and I knew oftentimes when he called me, he was drunk. I would always remind my uncle that I loved him, and so did Jesus. The only problem is when I told him that Jesus loved him, he just couldn't receive it. He couldn't receive those words because he had lost hope. He couldn't believe. How could anybody love him for how he lived life? See, I think Thomas doubted because he followed Jesus with all that he knew, and now he was dead. He couldn't see the morning because the night had been a trap. It was a massive loss for Thomas. They crucified the man that he loved most, the man that he followed for 3 years. He simply couldn't believe that Jesus could come from the dead. At times, we've all visited those moments, haven't we? But don't you appreciate the rawness of John's letter in this gospel? It's real. It's alive. And what happens is that Jesus is simply gone and Thomas can't bear it. But I love what happens, what Jesus does. Jesus now comes and he visits the disciples, and now he has this one-on-one encounter with Thomas himself. He speaks right into Thomas's fear. He comes through those locked doors and again he tells everyone in the room, "Peace be with you." He calms the moment. Then it's eye to eye with Thomas. There's no anger. There's no rebuking. There's no asking the question, "Thomas, why wouldn't you believe?" No. Jesus loves on Thomas. You see, folks, Thomas had leadership. Jesus saw it. Thomas had potential. Thomas simply wanted to know. You ever been there with doubts, asking God to simply show you the way? Kind of like George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life, and he needed a miracle in his life, and he had lost all hope, and God sends him an angel, Clarence. Oftentimes we want that, but Thomas gets the opportunity where Jesus himself meets him. Thomas, he says, "Here, put your fingers in my hands." See, before the disciples, he said this told the other disciples to see, but see, Thomas needed the touch. He needed a moment. He needed to literally place his hands with his finger and touch Jesus' wounds. Then Jesus pulls over to his side and says, "Here, Thomas, put your finger in my side where they pierced me." Thomas needed physical proof. So Jesus met him right where he was. In his gentleness, Jesus tells him, "Don't be faithless anymore, Thomas." And it was at that point, it says in the Bible, that Thomas believed. See, that's important for us, folks, and I want us to get that. We all have our doubts, and sometimes we need to ask Jesus for that extra touch. He sometimes feels that answer, and sometimes it's wait. But here is the key for us, folks, in the doubt. Don't stay in isolation. Thomas came back to his friends. He brought his doubts to them, and we need to do that and do the same thing. See, folks, isolation will bring you to a point of stinking thinking, and the enemy wants you to wallow in your own unbelief. The devil thrives in the darkness of our lives, and he wants you to stay in it. See, only the joy that comes in our lives truly comes from the Holy Spirit. Ask him to bring you joy. Fight for it. Get good people or godly people around you who will speak truth into your life and love on you, just as Jesus did with Thomas. But I believe Jesus saw the generations when he said to Thomas, he says, "Blessed are those who can't see what lies ahead." That's us, folks. Blessed are those who see. So I want to give you two things, folks, about that I believe that we can get from this teaching today. First, always go to Jesus in prayer when you're experiencing doubt. It's through prayer that we show our dependence on him, even when your doubts, even in your prayer. Remember the story in Mark 9, 17 through 27, with the story of the man who had a demon-possessed son. He brings his child to Jesus in hopes that Jesus could help the situation. But he wasn't sure that Jesus could truly help his son. Jesus asked the dad, "Do you believe I can do this?" The man was honest. He says, "Sure, but to be honest, Jesus, I lack faith. I lack unbelief. But can you help me?" And he prays, and Jesus heals his son. And the second thing that today is this, is doubt for a Christian is a daily spiritual battle. We have to make ready the fight. Ephesians 6, 10 through 19 tells us to put on the armor of God. Make ready for battle. We must take advantages when we have those lulls in our life when great darkness comes. It's time to polish up your armor, folks. When we put on God's armor, we doubt less. We feed our faith through the word of God. We raise the shield of faith to do battle with the enemy when he shoots his fiery arrows at our faith. That way, we no longer become a target to Satan himself. Remember, folks, in your doubts, we have two things. Thomas didn't when he doubted. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we also have the New Testament. We have both the power of the Spirit and of the Word that helps us overcome our doubts. Let's pray. Jesus, again, I just thank you for who you are. I pray that you would help us overcome our doubts in the midst of the things that we answer, that we want to have belief. And sometimes we simply have to ask you, Jesus, please forgive us of our lack of belief when we doubt. You're always there for us, Jesus. We thank you for the work that you did do on the cross and that you were raised from the dead. And now you sit at the right hand of the Father. Lord, I pray for those that are out there listening even today, that they pray in this prayer about, please forgive me of my unbelief. We thank you, Jesus, for meeting us right where we are. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, again, I want to thank you for listening to us on KBOE 104.9 FM. Thank you for participating and being with us today. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.